Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive. Hi everyone! Today I'm excited to welcome Whitney Hazard. Whitney is a product marketing manager at Google who moved to San Francisco for her job after graduating from college. Leaving your college friends behind and starting out in a completely new city can be tough. On this episode, Whitney will talk about how she was able to find a community and friends in a completely new environment. Hi, Whitney. It's so good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Tamina. I'm so excited to be here and to discuss a topic as important as community. I feel like community is the foundation for so many aspects of our life, impacting our well-being, happiness, career success, etc. So figuring out how to navigate building community in a new place is super important, and I'm excited to discuss it with you today.
Absolutely. Thank you for those lovely words. So how about we just get started with the first question, actually. So you obviously landed a role at Google that many people would probably consider a dream job. What were the weeks and months leading up to your start date like?
Yeah, so I think it goes back to graduation. I graduated in May and then had the summer in front of me, and I chose to actually live and work in Cape Town and teach there for the summer. And throughout that time, I was definitely building up these feelings of both nervousness and excitement. I was very anticipatory of what was to come and unsure exactly what it would look like, and was kind of processing all of those different emotions. And I just want to say, first and foremost, all of those things are totally okay to feel. It's normal to be both nervous and overwhelmed and excited all at the same time. I think on top of those feelings, I was also just really focused on getting prepared. There was so much to be done, from finding an apartment to packing to prepping for a new job, that there was very little time for me to actually think too much about what I was feeling or what was happening. So that kind of led to me underestimating the change a bit. I had lived in new cities before and I had started new internships. So I think I thought this would be no problem to navigate. And I don't think I was particularly emotionally prepared for all of the change that was about to happen in my life. So it's my hope that by talking through some of these things now, we can hopefully help everyone feel a little bit more prepared for all of that change that will come, because it is a huge new chapter in your life, moving to a new city after college and trying to build community. So I'm excited to dive into it.
Yeah, I can only attest to that moving to a new place, trying to find new friends can be tough, and it can also be a lonely experience, right? So I'm very, very happy to have you on today to talk a little bit more about that. So when you moved to the Bay Area, the thought of, oh my, I'm about to move to a completely new city and don't really know anyone there, ever cross your mind, Whitney?
Yeah, so I'd say yes and no to that. Yes, in that when I first signed the job offer while I was still in school, I immediately was stressed about how few people I knew in San Francisco, particularly good friends. I had acquaintances there, but I didn't feel like I was moving with any built-in best friends. And I even cried about it, because I was aware of that loneliness that was to come, and that's totally okay. But at the same time, I knew that I liked challenges and new adventures and that I would be able to figure it out. So I didn't let the fear of loneliness and uncertainty stop me from pursuing what I wanted to do.
I mean, you're a very brave woman, and I've known that for a very long time. So I know that you're always up for a challenge, which is fantastic. But at the same time, obviously, this can be a very humbling experience after you just spent 4 years of your life at an amazing school, built so many
valuable friendships with your classmates and your peers. So let's fast forward to kind of the August, September of 2018 time. So you arrive in the Bay Area, are about to start at Google. How many people did you know in San Francisco at that point?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I think there's a big difference between how many acquaintances you have versus mm-hmm. how many people I felt like actually knew me well and would be there for me reliably, like day in, day out. And so I had plenty of these more vague connections, people from college, people from other phases of my life, but I didn't have any best friends moving there. So I did feel like I was pretty alone. I had no idea who would become my close friends or how I would make them, and I definitely felt that uncertainty. So even though I knew many people on paper, they just felt very surface level, which meant that I felt pretty alone because I didn't have those close friendships yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very relatable. So what I hear is the uncertainty is a big topic when we talk about finding community in a new place, especially when we go back to thinking about our time in college. I mean, making friends in school is pretty easy. You know, you live in dorms, you meet people in class, there are tons of fun events on a daily basis. But for some reason, making friends as an adult is a lot harder. And despite working at a great company with fabulous people, which I'm sure is the case for you as well, I personally felt pretty lonely after starting out in a new city. Why do you think that is, Whitney?
Well, first and foremost, I think this is because the change is a lot more drastic than we sometimes give it credit for, particularly the social change. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, it's a huge adjustment going from living on a campus, constantly surrounded by dozens of friends, to then living relatively alone in a new city without the same shared spaces and places to gather and groups. So as a result, I think loneliness during this time is totally normal. Don't feel like you aren't succeeding in this new chapter if you are feeling lonely, because most people I talked to did feel that loneliness at least some of their time during this new chapter. And so my recommendation would be, in the early phases, when you still are building those friendships, remember that you still have friends from previous chapters of your life that are there for you, even if they're not living in the same city. So keep in mind that those close friendships you have, they're always a phone call away, and you are still loved from across the world. You just haven't yet built that in your new city.
Mm, but those friendships with, you know, your friends from your previous life, let's say as a college student or a high school student, those friendships change as well, right? Just by virtue of being in this new environment as a recent graduate.
Yeah, they definitely do. And you'll be surprised how friendships evolve. Some get stronger, some start to fade, and all of that's okay. I would just keep in mind that you do still have those relationships, even if you aren't talking to them on a day-to-day basis. You'd be surprised that as soon as you give someone a call or you travel and meet up with them wherever they're living, that it will likely just go straight back to normal, and you'll be reminded of the fact that you do have such meaningful connections with people. They just aren't in your life in a day-to-day basis in the same place as you were used to in college. So it is still important, though, to try to maintain those, because they will help you and they can kind of be that cushion for you when you're still in the early phases of building relationships in a new place.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Whitney. And I had a similar experience where initially, like I said earlier, I felt super lonely and I was scared of how I was gonna maintain those really, really important friendships that I had made in college. But like you said, with those true and constant friends, right? With those people, you can always like pick it up where you kind of left it off. And it doesn't matter if 1 week has passed or if half a year has passed, right? And it's just
right.
A different dynamic that you have just because you're all in different places.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I would encourage picking up the phone and taking those weekend trips whenever mm-hmm. you're able to, because it will kind of help you recharge by being with people that do know you so well and are those tried and true friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you end up finding your new community in San Francisco, and how long did it take?
Yeah, great question. So when I first got to San Francisco, I started by exploring a ton of relationships. People from college, acquaintances from my hometown, folks I met at work, and random friendships that I built just by being out and about in San Francisco. So I really was trying to get to know as wide a group of people as I could and just say yes to everything. I would try to put myself out there in new spaces, engaging with everyone I met, and I didn't let the fear of not knowing people well stop me from going to new things. So I really did try to just explore as many relationships as I could and say yes to as many things as I could to kind of broaden the group that I was getting to know. As a result of that, all of your friendships do start at a really high level, and they don't feel like the friendships you have from college right away, because your friends from college, you've had so much time to really build the depth. So over time, I had to keep investing in the friendships that felt right and felt fulfilling. And overall, from that sort of wide group of people I got to know, a handful of them blossomed into really deep and meaningful relationships and stuck over time. But it didn't happen quickly. The long story short is it takes a while, and those first months can be a little bit painful and sad at times, because you feel like, when am I going to get to that point of having those deep, meaningful relationships? But it just requires time and investment and sharing experiences and sharing who you are and treating people the way you want to be treated as a friend. And then those relationships will turn into more. So I would say for me, it took more than 6 months before I felt like I knew who my close friends were. And the way I got to those relationships was by exploring many across all different avenues and then determining which ones really felt right.
And you were mentioning something really interesting, namely that your friendships that you have now as part of your young professional life actually differ from the types of friendships you had in college. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit more on that difference?
Definitely. This was such an important learning experience for me. I think I kind of naively went into my life in San Francisco expecting to build a social life that mirrored the one I had in college. And in college, I was so used to being able to maintain dozens of friendships, being in all different sorts of groups, just walking around campus, seeing so many people I knew and loved, and having no problem maintaining all of those relationships. But the fact of the matter is that working a full-time job, trying to live in a new city, doing all of the things that adulthood requires, that leaves you with less time for friendships than in college. So as a result, you won't be able to spend 24/7 with the hundreds of friends and acquaintances you had in college, and you can't maintain as many quality relationships. At first, I felt that I wasn't succeeding socially because my social life didn't mirror what I had in college. But really, it was just a matter of understanding what a fulfilling social life looks like after college. So what I learned is that I had to give up the idea of recreating the social environment I had in college and instead start to love and appreciate my friendships in San Francisco the way that they were. As a result, I really had to focus on the people that enriched my life, because I couldn't just have these hundreds of friendships. So I tried to focus on the friends who helped me be my full self and helped me be my best self, those who brought fulfillment and brought happiness into my life, who I felt like I was totally myself when I could be with them. And my recommendation would be, don't fight for friendships that aren't a great fit during this phase, because you are going to be better off having fewer, higher quality relationships because you have more limited time. So invest in the people that help you feel fulfilled and happy and loved in this phase, and recognize that it's okay not to have the same quantity of friendships as you did in college.
I think that is so, so important to emphasize. You're mentioning that initially you were trying to mirror your social experience in college with your new social experience in San Francisco, but that's simply not possible and probably even unfair to yourself. And hopefully that's going to help our listeners calm down a little bit if they're maybe at a similar stage of their life where you were maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. So I think that's definitely a very valuable lesson to take away from today. And also to really focus on those high quality people who take you for who you are, who are a valuable addition to your day-to-day.
Exactly. That was my number one learning experience. I found I was so much happier in San Francisco once I gave up on any notion of what my social life should look like and instead just focused on what aspects of my social life and what people were really bringing me happiness and fulfillment and channeling my energy there instead of fighting for this picture of what I envisioned it should look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the real life is not like Greek life in any way. So maybe we don't need all of these acquaintances because we're already busy enough kicking ass in our jobs and focusing on true friendships.
Exactly. That's the attitude.
So from your experience, what types of events and places would you say are really good facilitators for community building, Whitney?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because I don't think there is one size fits all approach. My best recommendation would be to just live your life, do the things you care about, spend time with people that you don't know and meet friends there, and really focus on what you like to do, because if you do that, you'll find people who are similarly minded. I think work can be a great place to start. It is an instant community that you can walk into and see people around you. And so that's a helpful tool. And then I would say layer on top of that your hobbies and interests and meet people in groups through those. And then lastly, take advantage of all of the connections you do have, like from school or family friends or friends of friends, and meet new people through all of those different things. And if you kind of just go about your life and you're open while you're doing it, and you have a positive attitude, I think you'll really draw people to you, and in no time, you'll start to get to know more people. And I think the most important thing to remember when you do enter new spaces, whether it's work or you choose to join a group with a similar hobby, is when you're in those new spaces, try to branch out. Don't just stick with the one person that you know. If you're at a house party or a volunteer group, try to get to know everyone around you, because you'll be surprised that some of those relationships will actually stick and end up becoming something great. And if you had just focused on the people you already knew in that space, you wouldn't have had the opportunity to meet them.
Absolutely. And I think that goes for all types of relationships, right? Sometimes you meet people and first you might think, hey, I'm never going to see this person ever again. And then like 2 or 3 months later, they might be your new best friend. So never underestimate new connections and the joy they can bring to your life.
Right. And as silly as it sounds, I think thinking about making friends a little bit more like we think about dating, where you're more willing to like strike up a conversation with someone new, and you're likely to like put yourself out there in new places. If you're taking kind of a dating mindset to it, you actually can do the same thing with friends, where you'd be surprised that more people than you expect are open to meeting new people and building new relationships and things like that. So that can just be a helpful kind of mind shift to make, that you don't need to go in like, this person is going to be my best friend forever. You can just get to know more acquaintances, and some of those will end up becoming best friends forever.
Yeah. And you were also mentioning that finding new hobbies is a good way to meet people. Any fun new hobbies that you tried out when you were moving to San Francisco that really helped you?
That's a good question. I actually think like part of my guidance comes from, I did not do this soon enough. I wish I had gotten more involved in my hobbies earlier on. I think I envisioned that a social life needed to be more like bars and parties and things like that. Whereas in hindsight, I think I could have built even more relationships if I had shifted some of that energy to my interests. So now I'm much more focused on that, and I'm doing things like cycling, both indoor and outdoors, getting involved in politics and volunteering, hiking and going on weekend trips, and saying yes to camping with a group of people when you only know one of them, things like that, I think is kind of the attitude shift that I've been trying to make.
Love that. Love that. Knowing you, Whitney, you are pretty extroverted, social, and a just very lovable person. And you were mentioning earlier that in the first couple of months, you really focused on meeting as many different people as possible. But what about more introverted people? How can they build their community in a completely new environment without being super outgoing?
Right. Yeah, you can absolutely do this as an introvert. You do not need to be super outgoing to make friends. When I think about the closest friends in my life, many of them are introverts, and it's an incredible quality to have. So my recommendation to people who might be a little anxious about the idea of putting yourself out there and meeting new people, my advice would be to start small. Focus on the tactics I mentioned, like joining groups of people with a shared hobby, and then start with just one person in that group. Strike up a conversation with them, be genuine, and build from there. You don't need to be the loudest and most outgoing person in the room to make friends. Just focus on building meaningful connections. And if that means starting with one conversation with one person, then that's the best way to do it.
Absolutely. And a fun fact, but you were actually about to relocate to London with Google. Obviously, in the current environment, there is a lot of uncertainty, but fingers crossed that's actually going to work out in the end. Also, let's take some time to congratulate you on that amazing opportunity. That's not only really, really well done, but also very, very much deserved.
Thank you.
Of course. We need to lift each other up, right?
Definitely.
So we need to celebrate the small and big successes all the time. But yeah, in regards to your future move to the UK, that kind of means that you are about to go through the same spiel of having to find friends all over again. What's your game plan?
I know, it is definitely crazy to be doing this again. And a lot of moments I'm a little bit panicked. I'm like, why am I doing this again? I had built something so great in San Francisco, and here I am like picking it up and starting over. And it definitely is a risky choice, but I'm super excited about it. And I think I'm about to test a lot of what we just talked about and see how it goes doing it all over again. Honestly, I would say even having done it in San Francisco, I'm still overwhelmed by the idea of doing it again in London. Starting from square one is stressful no matter how many times you've had to pick up and start in a new environment. So I'm just recognizing ahead of time that there are going to be moments that are hard. There are going to be moments of panic where I'm like, why did I make this choice? And what am I doing here? And I don't know anyone. But overall, it's a decision I made really actively to help me grow as a person and have new experiences and stretch myself professionally. So I stand by my choice, even though I know it will be hard at times. My game plan this time around, especially moving to a new country where I really hardly know anyone, my game plan is to lean into every vague connection I've ever had and see what sticks. So it doesn't matter if I only knew someone peripherally from a class in college, or if someone is a friend of a friend, I am really going to take advantage of every sort of vague connection that I have and start from there. I think meeting friends of friends and finding communities through the few relationships I have is going to be the best place to start. On top of that, I am going to do things, like I mentioned before, like engaging in my hobbies and things I love and just see who I meet through that. So things like cycling and politics and hiking and going to new restaurants and live music. I'm going to try to do all of those things and just see who I meet in the process and be open to meeting new people through that process. That's kind of my approach this time around.
That's a very good approach. I would say even just relying on acquaintances and you know, friends of friends or friends of family friends, right. Especially in a completely new environment. Are you concerned about, you know, cultural differences at all? Because maybe the way that English people approach friendships differs from the way Americans approach friendships?
That's a great question. I definitely know going in that there will be cultural differences and there will likely be different ways in terms of how people meet each other and the norms of friendship and things like that. And I think part of the learning experience of moving to a new city or especially a new country, part of that learning experience is those differences. So I think I'm just going to lean into life in London, and it's going to be different in many ways. It's going to be different in ways that I can't even expect right now. And I'm going to try to adapt to really become a part of that and understand like a new culture and a new lifestyle and a new way of living in a city. And hopefully I'll find like pieces about life in London that I really love. And then those can kind of become part of who I am for the longer term. And that's why part of the reason why I want to move and experience something new, because I think we are constantly evolving. And the only way we do that is by putting ourselves in new experiences and understanding like what feels right to us and what feels like this is who we are. And then owning that and kind of carrying it forward with you through all of your phases of life.
I know you're going to thrive in London. I'm not worried about you at all. You're just going to embrace everything, make wonderful new connections, and have a lot of fun while doing it.
Yeah, it should be fun. It definitely will be trying at times, and I'm prepared for that. But I'm so excited for the experience and feeling really thankful to have the opportunity to be able to live internationally while I'm young and while I have the enthusiasm and energy and freedom to be able to do so. So now's the time, and it's a great opportunity.
I'm so excited for you, Whitney. It's going to be great.
Thank you.
Our last question for today. I always love closing out with kind of one effective measure our listeners can take based on the topic of the episode. So, Whitney, last question for you today.
Yeah.
If there's one easy but effective measure our listeners can take today after listening to this episode that would allow them to be less anxious about this whole process of finding a good community in their new home, what would that be?
I think it has to be start small. Start with one relationship, one new activity, one conversation, and build from there. Know that it will take a while, but do the things you love, put yourself out there, be a caring person, and your friendships and relationships will build from there. And just keep in mind that whether you know it or not, there have been many other times in your life where you've entered into new environments, not knowing anyone or not knowing people as well as you would like to. And every time you've come out of it with a community and with great friends. So it may be super daunting and that's totally normal, but try to just start small, start with one relationship, and everything else will build from there.
That's some really, really valuable piece of advice right there to close with today. Thank you so, so much, Whitney. It was such a pleasure to have you on today.
Thanks for having me. It was so much fun, and it is such an important topic. And I think people need to kind of prepare for it and visualize it and think about how you're going to build the community you love. Because as I said, that does lead to so many other avenues of your life being more successful, from your well-being to your happiness to your career. So community is so key. And I hope everyone found a little something in this that helps them build a strong community wherever they're going.
Absolutely. I think, or at least I hope that many people, may they be, you know, very recent college grads, young professionals, or even people who might be a little bit older but are about to embark on a new journey in a new city, that they can take your recommendations and your advice from today and apply it in their own daily lives and use it as a source of strength and comfort. So thanks again for also being so open with us and being vulnerable today.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, if you all out there would like a chance to have some one-on-one time with Whitney to talk about all things community building, maybe even careers at Google or how to move abroad, then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a positive review, and then follow us on Instagram as well for more info on how to become the lucky winner of some one-on-one time with Whitney.
And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHive with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Tamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.